As we transition to the message time, I invite you to open your prayer and action guides. There's a green sheet that says sermon notes and response card. It's meant to be a two-way communication tool. Hopefully you hear helpful scriptures and ideas. There's a spot to put those down. And then at the end, love to hear what God is speaking to your heart so that we can pray for you and encourage you. And while you get that ready, I invite you to engage with me once again in prayer. God, we come here this morning from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. This year, our church has been on an incredible journey with Jesus. Earlier in the year, we introduced the Revolution Pathway. We explored six steps that Jesus leads his followers to take. Follow Jesus, serve with Jesus, learn from Jesus, become like Jesus, empowered by Jesus, and sent for Jesus. These are not steps we have to take to earn a relationship with Jesus. These are steps we get to take because he offers a relationship to us. And we chose the word revolution because it has a double meaning. One meaning is to revolve around. The faith journey is an ongoing process. It doesn't stop. We keep taking new steps of faith with Jesus, each time at a deeper level, each time bringing more people along with us. The second meaning is a radical change. When we take steps of faith with Jesus, it will radically change our lives and our world for the better. Throughout the year, we have been focusing on specific steps along the pathway. In this current sermon series, we are learning from Jesus by studying his teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. We've already encountered some pretty revolutionary teaching from Jesus. But today, we come to what may be one of Jesus' most revolutionary teachings. Jesus said, "Love your enemies." At first, this might seem like a hard pill to swallow, even impossible. But if we are open to Jesus' teaching, we will find that it is packed with good news and has the potential to radically change our lives and our world for the better. I want to share with you the version of this teaching from Luke's gospel. You can follow along in your Bible or your Bible app. Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36. I invite you to stand as you're able in honor of God's word. Jesus said, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." We give thanks to God for his word. I invite you to be seated. One of the most powerful stories I've ever heard about loving your enemies was told to me by a man named Hisham Shahab. I first met Hisham over 10 years ago when he spoke at my internship congregation. His story was powerful and moving. Although I lost touch with Hisham, I never forgot his story. A few weeks ago, I walked into our building, And there was Hisham Shahab sitting in the Cornerstone Cafe. It was so good to see him again. Apparently, he's now a pastor in Lombard. Our OWLS senior adult ministry learned about him online and invited him to the cafe to discuss speaking for their group. Well, I can't tell his story quite like Hisham. I do want to share parts of his story with you today because I think it helps us see how Jesus' teaching is packed with good news and has the potential to radically change our lives and our world for the better. Hisham's story starts in Lebanon in the city of Beirut. He was born to a Muslim family. And there was a lot of tension between Muslims and Christians in that area. It still is. Hisham first remembers experiencing the tension when he was only 7 years old. He was innocently playing on the playground when a Christian boy walked up to him. The boy was holding a big stick with a nail protruding from it. And before he realized what was happening, the other boy hit him. And the nail went into his forehead, nearly missing his eye. He still has the scar today. At 12, Christian militia attacked a bus that Muslim people were riding on. And the Muslim militia retaliated and a civil war erupted. At the tender age of 12, 13, he was recruited for the Muslim militia and sent out into the streets with a rifle. At 15, he was promoted from rifle to cannon. And he was asked to fire that cannon into an area with Christian civilians. Although Christians were his enemies, even that was just too much for him. He thought that was wrong. He asked his leaders if he could have another position. They agreed to send him to be trained as a Muslim preacher. Hisham never did get to preach a sermon, at least not as a Muslim. For on the way to his first service, he was in a head-on collision with another car. Both of his legs were broken, and he suffered many serious injuries. He spent 50 days in the hospital. He couldn't walk for a year. They took him to the American Hospital in Beirut. It was there he developed an interest in English and medicine. After he was released from the hospital, he decided to study medicine at the American University in Beirut. While at the university, Hisham was notified that his brother, his only sibling, had been killed by Christian militia. He felt intense hatred towards Christians, and he wanted to retaliate. He went out and bought a gun and a silencer. During the day, he would befriend Christians so that he could learn where they lived and what they did. During the night, he would stalk them. Revenge, however, didn't soothe the hurt and hatred in his heart. Around that time, he was taking a world religions class at the university. One of the religions they covered was Christianity. In the class, the professor read portions of the Sermon on the Mount. And that was where Hisham first heard Jesus say, "Love your enemies." We have a short video with Hisham sharing how this teaching had a profound impact on his life. Take a look.
My brother, who used to provide for me with together only brother, my only sibling, was killed and by a Christian militia. So I decided to take revenge. I was at the climax of my hatred when I read Love Your Enemies, and I felt this is superhuman. I knew the Quran almost by heart by then, but the Bible was a new thing to me. And I was fascinated by the way he said, "Blessed be the peacemakers." See, and I thought maybe this is a way out to heal my heart, my broken heart.
Only God could say such words. And that's powerful.
How can somebody love his enemies? It was not something theoretical to me. It was something I was facing every day, stalking them at night with a gun and a silencer, you see. So the message of forgiveness was very real to me.
Hisham didn't jump right into Christianity. He wanted to try out some other religions first. He found that other religions teach people how to climb your way up to God. As hard as he tried, Hisham felt like he could never climb his way up. He always fell short. With Christianity, he found something refreshingly unique. It's precisely when we couldn't climb our way up to God, precisely when we fell short, precisely when we couldn't earn it and we didn't deserve it, God climbed down to us in Jesus. Hisham began to uncover the good news packed in Jesus' teaching to love your enemies. Because you see, that's how God loves us. God loves us even while we are his enemies. We caught a glimpse of this good news in our reading. Jesus said, God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Jesus said, be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. But it was the Apostle Paul who I think drove this good news home in Romans 5:6-10. He wrote, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Jesus Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. God loves us while we are still his enemies. And you might be thinking, well, I've never done anything that bad that I would be called an enemy of God. Consider some of these questions. Have you ever gone through a day and just totally forgotten to even think about God or connect with God? Think about how painful that would be for the God who created you out of love and desires to be in a close, loving relationship with you. Have you ever lived as if you were the one in charge of your life? Think about how offensive that would be to the God who created everything and actually is in charge. If this was a royal court, we would be guilty of treason. Have you ever spoken or acted in a way that hurt another human being? Every single one of us is a beloved child of God. When we hurt others, we hurt God. Have you ever disobeyed God's commands? Have you ever been ungrateful for God's blessings? Have you ever refused to give back to God what God asks you to give? Have you ever tried to keep God at a distance or keep God out of certain areas of your life? In case you're wondering, I can answer yes to every single one of those questions. All of us, at one point or another, have been enemies of God. That's the bad news, but please hear this good news. God loves us even while we are his enemies. God showed his great love by sending Jesus. On earth, Jesus demonstrated God's revolutionary love for enemies. And think about it. On the night of his betrayal, Jesus washed the feet of the one who would betray him and shared a special meal with him. In the garden, Jesus stopped his followers from fighting the soldiers who came to take him. He even healed the ear of an enemy who had been hurt in the skirmish. When soldiers mocked and beat him, Jesus did not retaliate. Instead, he stretched his arms wide in love to the world and prayed that God would forgive his enemies. And though we were his enemies, Jesus chose to pay the punishment for all of our wrongs so we could be forgiven and made right with God again. Though we were his enemies, he chose to lay down his life for us so that we could have the hope of new life and eternal life. Love your enemies. It might seem like a hard pill to swallow, but it's the only reason any of us have a chance to be in God's family. God loves us even while we are his enemies. Hisham wanted that kind of love in his life. And after months of sneaking in and out of services to avoid being seen, he made the decision to be baptized in a Christian church. Soon after, he felt led to share God's revolutionary love with his enemies. And that's when he discovered how this has the potential to radically change our lives and our world for the better. Hisham became an advocate for peace in his homeland. He helped facilitate peace talks between Christians and Muslims. Through his work, he wound up meeting the man responsible for his brother's death. This was so hard for Hisham. He wanted to retaliate, but he asked God to help him love his enemies. And God did. God helped him to release his anger and offer forgiveness. Here's a picture of Hisham shaking hands with the very man who murdered his brother. And it was there that Hisham was able to facilitate reconciliation between the militia that killed his brother and the militia that his brother was a part of. Powerful. One day, Hisham met a retired Lutheran pastor from America in Beirut. The pastor was going around telling everybody, "God is love," in Arabic. At first, Hisham thought the pastor was funny because his accent was terrible. But he could tell this guy loved Jesus. They developed a deep friendship, and the pastor recommended that Hisham attend seminary in the U.S. He did, and now he helped found Salam Christian Fellowship that reaches out to Muslims and others from the Middle East in our area. Being in the U.S. gave Hisham and his wife another opportunity to love their enemies. Back in the 1980s, his wife was kidnapped by Syrian intelligence officers and tortured for 6 months. A few years ago, a former Syrian intelligence officer was relocated to Chicago as a refugee. Hisham and his wife helped the man's family pay for rent and for other basic necessities. Their love was such a powerful witness for God's love that a year later, that man was baptized. So amazing. When Hisham shared his story with my internship congregation, we got some pushback. Several people were outraged that we allowed a terrorist into our church. They didn't want his kind around. I was dumbfounded. We had just heard this incredible story of loving your enemies. And yet there were people in our church who weren't applying that teaching in their lives. When we refuse to swallow this pill, we miss out on the good news and the potential it has to radically change our lives and our world for the better. One of the things I love about Good Shepherd is this church wants to be faithful to God's word. So I want to wrap up this message by exploring how we can apply this teaching in our lives. First, Jesus tells us what not to do. Jesus tells us not to retaliate. Jesus was speaking into a culture that promoted retaliation. If someone gets you, you get them back, and you get them back worse. For example, a person who was slapped on the cheek might retaliate and break the neck of their enemy. Or a person whose coat was stolen might retaliate and burn down the house of their enemy. Sometimes today we see that kind of retaliation when people get into an argument and they keep slinging zinger after each other, each one trying to up and hurt the other person worse. Hebrew law tried to even out retaliation, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Jesus sought to end retaliation. And Jesus wasn't saying that we should let people walk all over us. A friend of mine from seminary put it like this. He said, Jesus told us to turn the other cheek. He did not say to stand close. If you're in an abusive situation, that's not good. Please let someone know so that we can help get you out of that situation. And if there are wrongs and injustices going on in our world, it is right to work for peace and justice. What is not right is to retaliate with hateful words and actions. As we saw with Hisham, retaliation never makes a situation better, and it never brings the kind of peace and healing we long for. Jesus tells us not to retaliate. He takes that a step further, though, and he tells us what to do. He says, love your enemies. Again, this is not something that we can do on our own. I like how Hisham put it. He said, this is not human. This is superhuman. If you've ever felt, I could not love my enemies, you are right. You cannot do that on your own. But as we saw with Hisham, God can help us to love our enemies. Jesus makes it very practical. He gives us 5 action steps, 5 ways that we can love our enemies. We'll briefly go through those together. You might want to write them down. Number 1, pray. Pray for those who mistreat you. It's hard to stay angry with someone when we're praying for them. Pray that God would help you release anger. Pray that God would help you see them in a new light. Pray God's best for their life. Number 2, bless. Bless those who curse you. No matter how they speak to you, speak kindly to them and about them. Number 3, do good. Do good to those who hate you. Seek their welfare. Look for ways to help them. Do for them what you would want them to do for you. 4, give. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Share your resources. Leverage what you have for their benefit. And 5, be merciful. Be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. Extend to them the same gift of grace that God extends to you. I tell you, this love is such a powerful witness for God in our world. And it has the potential to radically change our lives and our world for the better. And you might see my big smile and think that I would never struggle with enemies. You would be wrong. You know how I like to use response cards. Well, a while back, there was a man who used to be so mean to me. Every time I saw him in church, he would say the meanest things. He would write nasty notes on the response card. It was really hurtful. I don't like to admit it, but my heart began to be filled with hate towards this man. I wanted to retaliate, maybe knock him over the head with communion bread or something. I don't know. And I felt like one day God was convicting me. And God said to me, love him. And I said, I don't want to. You're going to have to help me. And God did. I started to go through Jesus' action steps one by one with this man. I prayed for him. Little by little, God began to release my anger and help me see him as a beloved child of God. I blessed him. No matter how nasty his words were to me, I spoke life and love and encouragement to him. I told him I'd be curious to get to know him better. I invited him to have lunch with me. I tried to do good, be generous, be merciful. Now, we never became besties, But over time, our relationship changed. He started to say fewer and fewer mean things to me and write fewer and fewer mean notes. And one day, he even wrote a positive, encouraging email to me. You better believe I printed that bad boy out and put it in my file. God promises to reward those who love their enemies. And we may not see the full extent of that reward here on earth, but I believe we will one day in heaven. And I want to invite our congregation to apply this teaching in our lives. So I close with two quick thoughts. First, I invite you to put on God's love like you would put on a coat. God loves you. God loves you even while you are still his enemies. God loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus to save you from sin and death. Put on that love. Put on his grace, his forgiveness, his salvation. Let God wrap you in love. And then I invite you to think about who your enemies are. Who are the people who have wronged you? Who makes you mad? Who can't you stand? Who gets under your skin? With God's help, choose to love them. Do not retaliate with hateful words or actions. Instead, take Jesus' action steps. Here's our challenge for this week. I challenge you to pick one person and make your own list of how you can love them this week. I know this is not easy. So before we respond, we're going to take a moment to put on God's love. As the band leads us in song, let God wrap you in his love.